All right, welcome to the special report. In bombshell news that's sending shockwaves around the world, Russia just announced a ban on virtually all exports of diesel in order to shore up their own domestic diesel supply. At least that's the official cover story for why this decision was made. This is already sending shockwaves, like I said, through the world oil markets, and it's going to create shortages, or at least price increases with some scarcity in many countries around the world, ultimately affecting the United States because oil is global. It's a global commodity. If countries in the Middle East can't get the oil from Russia, they're going to get it from somewhere else. That's going to take away supplies that normally the United States relies on. So you are going to see now diesel prices really skyrocketing in the United States and elsewhere. Now, since oil prices are skyrocketing as a result of this, it also means that gasoline prices are going to skyrocket, perhaps not as much percentage-wise as diesel, but gas will go up as well. Now, there are two critical things happening here that I think we all need to understand. Point number one is that both Russia and Saudi Arabia are using energy scarcity, in the case of the Saudis cutting back oil production, and now in the case of Russia, banning diesel exports. They're using this as a way to try to achieve regime change in the United States. Now, both the Saudis and Russia, remember, those are two nations that are highly dependent on energy exports as, you know, the bulk of their GDP, the bulk of their wealth comes from energy. The United States has been at war with fossil fuels under the Biden regime. Biden has not only shut down domestic supply and domestic infrastructure, including pipelines, refineries, exploration, and so on, including some big exploration projects that were already awarded in Alaska and now have been rescinded by the federal government, and that's going to have devastating consequences. But like I said, not only has domestic supply been shut down by Joe Biden and his handlers, but also this push toward EVs and the push to ban combustion engines is a long-term pain for Saudi Arabia and Russia. On top of that, the United States Navy destroyed the Nord Stream pipeline, of course, in the Baltic Sea in order to halt Russia's exports of natural gas to Europe, simultaneously damaging Europe's economy and, frankly, devastating Germany's industrial capabilities, and at the same time attempting to punish Russia economically by, you know, destroying the pipeline. So the United States, under the Biden regime, has been at war with fossil fuels because, of course, the climate cultists are in charge, and it's a cult of lunatics who think that all energy is bad, or I guess at least except solar energy, but they won't tell you that that requires mining of minerals and so on. And they like wind energy, except wind energy isn't reliable. So essentially, they believe that energy is bad and that humanity needs to be cut off from energy, which of course would cut off humanity from food, which is also part of the climate cult, to destroy the global food supply, as we've been seeing in spades across Western Europe, as well as the United States and Canada. Eat the bugs is the mantra that's guiding them. So both Russia and the Saudis want to defeat Biden. Russia and the Saudis would much rather have Donald Trump as president, not because Trump is, quote, a friend. He's not a friend of Russia. He's not a friend of the Saudis per se, but Trump knows how to do deals with people, with nations. Trump would restore trading status, and Trump would end the war in Ukraine. And Russia wants to get back to trade. The Saudis want to get back to exporting more oil. So they want Trump or someone like Trump in the White House. In fact, they want Trump a lot more than they want RFK, because RFK is anti-fossil fuels for the most part as well. So the Saudis and the Russians would much rather see Trump in the White House. In order to achieve that, they want to make the economic pain really hurt for the next year in the United States. And it's simple for them to do that. All they have to do is create energy scarcity and energy price inflation. And that's exactly what they've both been doing. And you can thank Joe Biden for that. In fact, you can thank Joe Biden for the fact that due to his shutdowns of domestic energy infrastructure in the United States, he has created extreme vulnerability to foreign actors and these kinds of supply side maneuvers that are going to really hurt the U.S. economy. You see, if we had more domestic oil exploration like we had under Trump, where the United States was energy independent, the U.S. was actually seeing a net exports of energy because we were producing so much domestically. Oh, and by the way, don't forget RFK Jr. says he's going to ban fracking, which would most definitely devastate a lot of U.S. energy production. But anyway, we were a net energy producer and exporter under Trump. That was all reversed by Biden. As a result, the United States lost its energy security, and the U.S. has become more dependent on other nations, including Saudi Arabia and indirectly Russia, for its energy imports. So in other words, by shutting down domestic energy production, Joe Biden made us vulnerable to the Russians. Think about that. Vulnerable to the Russians' decisions. All right, so that's all under the category of trend number one, which summarized is that the Saudis and Russia want to see Joe Biden removed from office. And the way to achieve that is to cause a lot of economic pain over the next year so that voters are fed up. Because, you know, voters see gas prices and diesel prices, and they see food prices. You know, you can hide a lot of numbers from consumers, but you can't hide what it costs them to buy food at the grocery store, because they do that themselves. And you can't hide the increasing prices of gasoline or diesel at the gas pump. So this is one of the most direct ways to kind of open the eyes of the American consumer and force them to realize, hey, this sucks. You know, this Biden regime sucks. Like, everything's more expensive. We can't afford to live, right? So that's what's going on. Trend number two, which is just as important, but longer term. Trend number two is that we are seeing a collapse of globalization, a collapse of global trade, as more and more countries in the age of scarcity and also inflation caused by fiat currency money printing around the world, more and more countries are blocking exports in order to protect their domestic supplies of various commodities. For example, India and rice. So India banned exports of rice, a couple of months ago. Not every variety, but the most popular varieties. I think they still export basmati rice, for example, but the typical white rice that you get that makes up the bulk of rice around the world, India banned that from being exported. Why? Well, because rice was becoming unaffordable domestically. And then India was seeing a lot of, you know, revolt-oriented type of political pressures of people who are unable to afford to eat domestically. So India bans exports. We're also seeing, by the way, right now, a lot of food supply chain friction between Poland and Ukraine. So Ukraine is trying to export its grains right now, and Poland accuses Ukraine of dumping low-cost grain onto the marketplace, hurting Poland's farmers. And so Poland banned grain from Ukraine, and then in response, Ukraine is banning certain food exports out of Poland. So there are more barriers being erected worldwide. And those are just a couple of examples. There are many more. You know, for example, I think China banning seafood exports from Japan or around Japan's waters because Japan is dumping radioactive Fukushima water, you know, into the ocean. So I don't know if that's been worked out yet, but that's just another example. There are a lot of food borders being erected or barriers to trade that are being erected. And it's not just food, it's other commodities as well. And in fact, probably the greatest example of this that we saw was the United States forcing the SWIFT transaction system to ban Russia from being able to participate in SWIFT. And that caused an immediate blockade, an economic blockade, affecting, you know, thousands of different commodities, including fertilizer out of Russia, which of course impacted the availability and price affordability of fertilizer for farmers across Western Europe. So it's part of the attack on the food supply as well. In addition to fertilizer, there are also, of course, mined minerals, such as aluminum, copper, zinc, and so on. And Russia is a massive exporter of many of those, especially aluminum, but also including copper to some extent. And Russia mines a lot of gold and silver as well. Well, so there are now more trade barriers for those. But this is not just about Russia. This is about India. This is about China. This is about Japan. This is about many countries around the world that are now erecting more barriers to global trade as the global trade system is itself imploding. So the overriding trend that we are seeing here is a collapse of global supply chains and global stability in the predictability of those supply chains. And you can feel this right now. You can see it yourself when you try to get replacement parts for your air conditioner or replacement parts for your car. Some people are having to wait 6 months for a part for a car, and they can't drive the car because the part's not available. And in some of these cases, some of these cars are so advanced with electronics these days, and one little sensor goes out, like a 50-cent sensor, you know, usually emissions related, and the car refuses to run until you replace the sensor, and the sensor is not available anywhere on the planet for the next year, you know, that kind of thing. That's happening. And so you're seeing the breakdown of the entire global system of trade that came into existence following World War II, with the United States dominating naval power and the U.S. dominating the projection of power, which created safe routes for international transportation of shipping containers. And because of the very, very low costs of shipping goods on a shipping container, I mean, it's just like pennies a pound, if not less, maybe a fraction of a penny a pound. We saw globalization explode after World War II, especially through the 1970s and 80s and 90s and so on. Globalization exploded because it was very inexpensive to ship materials, for example, to China or to Vietnam or Indonesia, have them assembled, have the manufacturing there with cheap labor laws and very few environmental protections and so on, and then to ship the finished goods back to the markets in North America and Europe, typically. Well, that wasn't possible before globalization. And globalization was only made possible by the projection of naval power by the United States. That naval power is now waning dramatically. In fact, I saw a headline today that China now has far more naval vessels than does the United States. And China is producing them at a much more rapid pace. Now, it doesn't mean that it's apples and apples, by the way. You know, America still has by far the most capable collection of aircraft carriers. And I think the aircraft carriers that the United States has are far more effective compared to China's aircraft carriers. However, that is changing. And China is gaining experience and is building a manufacturing infrastructure to build a lot more ships, including aircraft carriers, while the United States is dismantling its own energy infrastructure, and so is Germany, and so is the United Kingdom, and France, and Hungary, and I don't know about Poland, probably a similar thing is happening there. But the West is dismantling its ability to construct military vessels that can keep the seas dominated by one unipolar force in the world, which gave rise to globalization. As that falls apart, as China begins to expand its naval presence in all of Southeast Asia, including the Straits of Taiwan, in the Pacific region, including Australia, New Zealand, the Philippines, and so on, you're going to see major disruptions in global trade, especially involving anything that moves in or out of Asia to the United States. So I know that was a long way to explain the second trend, but what we need to understand is that globalization is dying. It is imploding right now, and it's not going to be reversed, not in our lifetimes. And what this means is that the things that you buy are going to become less available and a lot more expensive, if not even impossible to find in many cases. And it also means that there will be a lot of opportunities for domestic production of many products and solutions, but domestically, in the United States in particular, for example, we don't have a work ethic anymore. We don't have a generation of youth that is willing to work. They are unwilling to work. They rebel at the thought of work because they're hyper-privileged, universal basic income recipients. They don't think that they should have to work. And the situation is so desperate among American employers trying to find people who are willing to work that they have pressured governors and legislatures and others to do things like what we just saw. The state of New York, I believe it's the state, it might be the city of New York City, but I think it's the state, is authorizing work permits for, and I hope I'm getting this number correct, 370,000 Venezuelans to come to New York and to legally take over the work in the factories or you know, the textile companies, everything. 370,000 Venezuelans are being given permission to work in New York. That would not be happening if the American youth wanted to work, but they do not. And so, like I said, the employers pressure the lawmakers and governors and so on to allow essentially migrants or non-Americans to come in and work because they're still willing to work, by the way. So much of the workforce in the United States is going to shift over to licensed illegals who are granted work permits in the U.S. to produce the goods that the Americans will be consuming, and those goods will cost significantly more than what you're used to paying, and the supply chain is going to be extremely difficult to navigate for the manufacturers due to the collapse of globalization that we're talking about here. So the bottom line? Well, countries like Russia that have developed their own domestic supply chains and domestic infrastructure for energy, minerals, manufacturing, and so on, and also countries that have a culture that supports hard work, i.e. Russia, where people have lived under economic sanctions for many years, those countries are going to do extraordinarily well. Countries like the United States that have outsourced virtually all the manufacturing and that have abandoned a work ethic are going to suffer torturously under a lack of supply, a scarcity, price inflation, and also, of course, you know, unemployed youth just carrying out acts of chaos across the cities as they are known to do now. That's all they do. I guess they have, you know, like street racing parties and drug parties and everything, and then they just attack police, and that's what youth do across America's cities now, apparently. It is accurate to say that life in America is going to become a lot more difficult. Life in Western Europe, a lot more difficult. Life in Russia is probably going to improve. And also in many other countries around the world where people are willing to work, it will get better. But not in the United States. Prepare for extreme scarcity, supply chain chaos and disruptions, outages of the parts you need, and frankly, poverty. Just widespread poverty and destitution across the United States, which will give rise to, of course, revolts and social chaos, and who knows what's going to happen in the cities, but that's where we are. Thanks, Joe Biden, for giving us hell on earth with your anti-energy policies and your pro-war policies and your censorship of free speech and so much more. The gifts that keep on giving, and if you keep voting for Democrats, you're going to keep getting it. That's for sure. All right. Thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger from Brighteon.com and NaturalNews.com. All right. I'm going to do something unusual for you today. I've got here the Ranger buckets from HealthRangerStore.com that so many people have invested in as a food supply. This is certified organic, laboratory verified, but I'm going to actually go through and open these and show you what's in them today and show you our dedication to the kind of packaging, the kind of secure packaging, and the quantity of what you get in here. This is just one of these are almonds in here, one of the types of packaging that we have. I want you to notice how secure it is. You know, you can, no, it's okay, sit. I don't want my dog to get alerted.
by that. But you've got different nuts and seeds in the package. And then if you take off this lid, there we go, you've got these kinds of hard bricks, a vacuum packed with the aid of nitrogen in this very rigid, rugged, thick material that prevents oxygen from oxidizing these products. So here we have black beans. You know, here we have lima beans. Here we have millet and rice. Again, all certified organic, all laboratory verified. We test them for heavy metals. We test them for pesticides such as, or herbicides like glyphosate, flax seeds here. We test them for microbiology to make sure that you're not getting E. coli, salmonella, yeast, or mold. Here's red lentils, high protein. Again, all certified organic. And in this pail, it makes it virtually rodent proof. So more of the smaller packages here, these tend to be nuts and seeds and some butter powder. Now the ingredients vary based on what's actually available right now from the world supply of food. So you need to go to our website, healthrangerstore.com, to see what's actually in the buckets that are available right now. It can vary, but here's certified organic popcorn. Here's red beans. Here's quinoa. Here's some more small red beans, pinto beans. And oh, that might be palm sugar and cacao powder. It just depends. It varies based on what we have available. So you'll have to go there and check it. But look, this is what you get in a two bucket set. It's a huge number of servings. It can feed a lot of people for an extended period of time. The actual statistics are on the website. If you want to know how many calories and how many servings, it's all right there at healthrangerstore.com. But folks, this is built for long-term storage. This is no joke. Between the buckets that are very rugged and roadworthy, you can take these on the road. They can handle a certain amount of abuse. And the sealed packages that keep out oxygen and prevent oxidation, this is serious long-term preparedness. And then these can be used in, you know, hundreds of different recipes. And you can add things like if you have availability of butter, or even lard. If you're into animal products, you can add those other ingredients to various meals and soup mixes using these base ingredients. And then you can get your nutrition that way, and you can make it through an extended period of societal failures, food shortages, famine, or even food inflation. All of these food items are going to go up in price as time goes on here, you know, because of the collapsing value of the dollar. And what that means is it's never going to be as affordable as it is right now. Food prices aren't going down. They're only going up. But this is a tremendous amount of food. And it's when you cook it, of course, it expands because these are dried formats. So this, even here, as much as this is with the stacks and the pouches and everything, it looks like so much more when you actually cook it. So again, look at the website, healthrangerstore.com. Search for Ranger Buckets. And if you don't need this much food, or you just want one of these items, you can get what are called mega buckets or mini buckets that focus on, you know, just one or two materials. All right, so here's an example of a mega bucket right here. This one contains only hard red wheat that is certified organic and lab tested, as are all our products. But you can get these individual buckets that are dedicated to one item if you wish, if you just want more of one certain thing. And we have these number 10 cans here, by the way, of different products. This is a certified organic palm sugar, a low glycemic sweetener. And here's a number 10 can of just macadamia nuts. And even though these have plastic lids, they're sealed steel cans. So they're completely rodent proof with very long shelf life. They're very rugged and they're also easy to handle because of their size. And again, we have all kinds of different food items, whether it's nuts, seeds, grains, legumes, all kinds of things, including whey protein, powdered milk, things like that, available right now at healthrangerstore.com. If you're concerned at all about the availability of the food supply, then you absolutely want to check this out, because what we have is unmatched anywhere in the world. Nobody does as much laboratory testing for the cleanliness of their foods as we do. Nobody in the world. And we do more testing than anybody. We have our own ISO accredited laboratory that we operate, that is audited, it is inspected, it is, and our whole facility is, by the way, certified organic, USDA audited and inspected annually, if not more often, including kosher certification for most of these items as well. You can find all the details on our website, again, healthrangerstore.com. When you're looking for backup food supplies, this is your answer right here. We've got it. We've been making this for years. We ship ourselves out of our own warehouse, our own fulfillment center in Central Texas, and we're ready to deliver these products to you right now so that you can get prepared. And of course, every purchase helps support our network and our efforts here at Brighteon.com. So thank you for your support. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and get prepared is all I can say for what's coming. Thank you again for your support. God bless you. God bless America. Take care.